Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm continuing my, well, it's just pure fun for me, to be honest with you. I love having guests on the program, both local as well as national guests. And if I get an opportunity to talk to a fellow author, I do that too. And so today's guest, Steve Olscher, and he is an author. He's also an entrepreneur, and he does a lot of interesting stuff. So I invite him on the program. This is a good discussion, not only for individuals, but also our business owner and business people listeners. And the website is steveolscher.com, O-L-S-H-E-R, Olscher, steveolscher.com. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for making the time. I'm looking at your website. You look like a busy guy. Now, I don't know if you really are, but you look busy. Is that true?
Yeah, I try to look as busy as possible in my pictures.
Yeah, you look busy, and now you've got an interesting twist here, and our subject today is going to surprise people, and I told you before we started, you're the provocative one. Our topic today, and we can get into a few other things too that I know that you want to talk about, is reevaluating getting a four-year degree.
It is, yep.
Wow, okay, so you're obviously, besides making a few professors unhappy, what is your thinking on that? I guess our listeners would say, hey, what are you thinking, Steve? Doesn't everybody need a degree to get further in life?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, before the hate mail starts coming in here, I mean, let me just preface this by saying that for the right individual, a four-year college degree certainly makes sense. I mean, if you know exactly what it is that you want to do, like you want to be an architect or you want to be an engineer or you want to be a doctor, and you know that's your career path, well, then, of course, you're going to need the education to support that choice. But when Rutgers University, now this is a university, and this isn't just some outside source. I mean, this is an actual university that released a study that said that 85% of those who graduate with a four-year degree do not operate or work in their field of study within 5 years of graduation. It's really time we start reevaluating this educational myth, if you will, that we have continued to perpetuate now, literally, for generations. And I've got a lot to talk about on the subject, but that statistic is particularly frightening to me.
That's a very high statistic, and it's interesting, and it's remarkable, really. You know, of course, having gone through what we've gone through in the last decade of the financial tumult and recession and, well, more than one recession, all this chaos, of course, has created a lot of displacement among people that are probably going, yeah, I'm not going to ever use that degree, or I'm not using it right now. So it's definitely something, and I think, you know, I think what you're getting at, which I really found interesting, and that's why I wanted to have you on the program, is that you think there are better ways for people to get where they're trying to go if it's not maybe one of these traditional, you know, like a doctorate.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look, the bottom line is most people don't know where the heck they want to go, and that's the problem, is we push our kids, and these are literally kids, into a corner and say, hey,
pick.
Decide, choose, what are you going to do? And so we've created this system, this structure, where basically the outdated mentality of spending 65 to 70% of your time, energy, and resources on courses to give you a well-rounded education so that you can then choose a particular career path is really an outdated modality that we absolutely have to re-explore and take a look at what the options are because, frankly, from my perspective, what we need to be doing is helping our children and helping people of all ages, for that matter, become clear on what I call your what. And so that's the question, is what is your what? What is that one thing that you're compelled to do? And then pursue the educational alternatives that support that. Because ultimately what ends up happening is now you've got $25,000 to $30,000 on average in student loan debt related to education you don't use. Because, I mean, really, what are you going to do with a major in art history and a minor in pre-unemployment?
Well, you beat me to it. I was gonna ask you what you know. I was gonna tease you and say that, you know, I did take that art history class and it was really interesting, but I don't really use that today in my financial planning practice.
Well, nor do you use 65% of the other courses that you took, more than likely.
And I think in this world we live in, it's about being very specific and having the education to back it up. Steve, we're gonna go to a quick break. The guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Olscher, O-L-S-H-E-R, steveolscher.com, and he's written several books. He's an entrepreneur. He's an author. We're talking about the value of getting a four-year degree. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Steve Olscher is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the value of a four-year education and also really about, it's not just the value of the four-year education, it's about how to get targeted education and get that precision that is more efficient with our money, right?
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying, and now that I've got a new hook to use, is really it's all about sniper ed, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is how do you go ahead and make sure that when you're spending a dollar, that you have the best possibility of getting $1.05 or $1.10 in return for what you've invested. I mean, you're in the finance business. You understand that more than anything. And so really, when we look at how we can use our time, I mean, there's only two ways to use your time. You can spend your time or you can invest your time. And my beef right now with these four-year institutions, but let's call them what they are, really, which are corporations, is that they keep telling you that you can't possibly have any degree of career success unless you have that piece of paper. And what I don't like about that message is that it's almost like saying that anyone with a driver's license has the ability to win the Daytona 500. And we know that that is fallacious in scope. There's no true correlation between the two, as well as there's no true correlation between having that degree and being successful, as some would define it, over the course of your career.
Very true. In fact, there are people that win the Daytona 500 that we really don't want on our regular streets. But, you know, it's a good point. And back to, you know, the forcing, it's a lot of pressure. And I've got an 11, 9, and 8-year-old soon to be, and I'm already thinking ahead about their college education and or what will be their maybe more of a targeted education. And you know, it's a difficult thing to say, okay, you have to figure out by the time you're 18 or sooner, really, with the whole college education application process. I've got a nephew going through it right now. You know, you got to start even in your junior year, and boy, you're still figuring out what this world is.
Well, I mean, but that's exactly right. It's unrealistic to expect anything good to come out of going from the sheltered environment of getting the bottle from your mama to the sheltered environment of getting the bottle from the bartender. I mean, that's really the only difference. It's a social experiment that we know does not work. And so what we need to really concentrate on are what are the alternatives. And if I was this boy's uncle, what I would tell him is don't even think about college at this point, unless he, again, is one of the few who understands exactly what it is that they want to do and that has been cultivated for whatever reason. He knows, he's clear. I would say do like they do in Europe. Make him take a year off. Make him become an apprentice. Have him intern. Have him join a nonprofit. Have him volunteer. Have him join the military. God forbid, go get a job. I mean, see how the real world works. Identify what you're compelled to do. And then when it comes time to pursuing the education you need to do that for a living, well, I mean, heck, how about if you pay for it, son?
You know, it's interesting to me, Steve. I agree with everything you just said there. I think it's very a fresh perspective, and we probably need to be more candid and open about these kinds of conversations. Is I think back to when I was 17, 18 years old and go, boy, how much I didn't know and the decisions we were making, and my parents gave me a lot of great guidance, but even things that they didn't know, because I'm thinking about how old they were when they were giving me the best advice they could. You know, it's tough, and then you start going down this path of what's expected. And you know, it's funny, a lot of my clients know this, and for the ones that don't, I'll tell them now. I started out, I was pre-med, and because hey David, you're smart, you don't know really what you want to do. You looked the part, you're not a dumb guy, you like science, pre-med. I said, okay. And then you go down that path. And then I, of course, I hit a zoology class, thankfully for my clients. And I didn't like that. And so here I am, I'm a CPA turned financial planner. But the point is really strong, is that give yourself time. And as you said, get some exposure to these different things that you might want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're much better off investing in a book like Journey to You, A Step-by-Step Guide to Becoming Who You Were Born to Be, which is my first book, and people can grab that for free at journeytoyou.com, or What Color is Your Parachute, or StrengthsFinders 2.0, or The Passion Test. I mean, you name it. You're much better off investing your time trying to go through one of those types of programs, even like a Myers-Briggs, to really hone in on what you're naturally wired to do, then you are investing in a course that might help you get a higher ACT or SAT grade. I mean, that's all well and good, but ultimately, I mean, are you really, well, here's the best way to put it, are you really going to see the return on your investment if you go to a Harvard or Ivy League school versus a school where you can get a darn good education and then move into something that is fulfilling for you? I think that's where we get so confused, is that we think that education is the end-all, be-all, and it is really going to be our ticket to success, when in fact all it is a ticket to a job. You don't want a job, you want to cultivate a career, and those are very different things.
Good point, Steve. We're going to take another short break. We come back, I want to talk to you a little bit, before we leave this subject of the degrees, is some of this entrenchment, it is student loans. Who profits from them? So stay right there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Steve Olscher right after this break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back. Steve Olscher is our guest, steveolscher.com, and I'll spell it one more time, O-L-S-H-E-R is how you spell Olscher, steveolscher.com, and I want to go to student loans. Another funny thing I'll share for our listeners, Steve, is I actually ended up short. I transferred from Jacksonville University to the University of North Florida. In the process, one of my biology classes didn't transfer, so guess what I had to take when I was ready to get into my accounting degree? I had to go and pick up a botany class.
Nice.
Isn't that bad? Anyway, so do I use that today? Not really, but that was what you had to do. So let's talk about maybe some of the not so pretty underbelly of the college education structure, and that is the student loans. Of course, you know, lots of information now and lots of talking about it, and nobody really, though, talks about who makes money off of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty scary, really, and you got to sit back and, again, start to re-examine why people keep saying that this is what you have to do. And let's look at where that message is coming from. I mean, number one, of course, it's coming from the institutions. And again, let's call them what they are, which are corporations, the school themselves, that, well, heck, let's look at a Division I dean. The average Division I dean makes about $173,000 a year. So that's a pretty hefty salary in an environment where supposedly all they have is your best interest in mind, and they're making $173,000, and you come out of a four-year institution, and your average starting salary right now is about $31,000. Kind of makes you scratch your head. Thing is, when you look at the government that is doing so much for so many, I mean, we're out here, we're giving grants, we're providing low-interest loans. I mean, that's hooey. They're not doing anything for anybody except for themselves, because they're borrowing money at a T-bill rate of interest, which right now is about 0.1, and they're loaning that between 3 and 7%, depending on the program. I mean, that's a 3,000% return on your money. Of course they want you to borrow as much as you can and go into debt to get that degree, which supposedly you have to have.
You know, the other thing, Steve, and that's all, you make a very valid point. The other thing, and I'll push my luck just a little bit here with any listeners that are going to benefit. In fact, I have clients who are benefiting from pensions who having been professors. One of the things that we don't talk about is that a lot of you mentioned the salaries of professors, and I'm sure there are many of them that earn them very well, but some may not. And the pension component is enormous, because the cost of pensions is a very large part of perhaps where that tuition dollar is going. So we're funding those pensions with, in effect, this money you're talking about that's being borrowed by the student.
Yeah, and so again, we talk about a return on investment. That's pretty frightening, and that's why we're really starting to see the shift that's becoming more and more acceptable. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but roughly about 10 years ago or so, when the University of Phoenix really started coming front and center, oh, yeah, in terms of getting some notoriety, people thought it was laughable. You know, oh, you're going to get a degree from an online university. Well, now more than 50% of all Division I schools offer online programs. And so what are the online options? Well, there's something out there right now which is called a MOOC, spelled M-O-O-C, which is a massively open online course. And you're starting to see more and more of these out there where you can actually get the education that you need for free. And I got to tell you, there is some dynamite education by many professors who teach on a full-time basis and get paid very well to do so, who have put their curriculum online and you can access it for free.
Now, that's interesting. That's what we call a paradigm shift in education.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a necessary shift because you're starting to hit the point. It's just like in the housing market. When it becomes too expensive to buy, more people rent. Well, it's the same thing in the school market now. When it becomes too expensive to attend school, less people will go and will start looking for more alternatives. There has to be a leveling off here of the inflation that we've seen in tuition and room and board costs, where it's literally doubled in the last 12 years. And that's just, I mean, that is so far out of scope with the rate of inflation. It kind of boggles the mind.
Well, Steve, I'm sure our listeners would agree. You're really giving us some fresh perspective here. And I want to take one more quick break when we come back. I want to talk with you about some of your books and what you've written, because I'm now very interested to know how we can direct people toward other solutions or an expanded range of solutions. The website is steveolscher.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back. Steve Olscher is our guest. He's throwing some, some hand grenades or maybe some cold water. But I'm enjoying your perspective, Steve. I think it's a good, fresh perspective. The website is steveolscher.com. And I know lots of people, as I'm sure you do, Steve, that have been very successful. They do not have a formal degree. What are some of the other resources that you have available for our listener? Because I know you've authored a couple different books. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about them, and maybe these are resources that people can take advantage of.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. So my work is really focused around helping people nichetize, which is identifying their niche and then learning how to monetize it. So my first book, which I mentioned earlier, which is called Journey to You, A Step-by-Step Guide to Becoming Who You Were Born to Be, I give that away for free at journeytoyou.com, and that book will really help people identify their what. That is the one thing they were born to do. So again, that question you have to be able to ask yourself is, you know, what is my what? What is my DNA naturally wired to accomplish? And the more you fight that, the farther you get from really being on point with who you were already born to be and honoring that inherent blueprint that naturally exists. And my follow-up book, which is called Internet Profits, spelled in the biblical sense, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, The World's Leading Experts Reveal How to Profit Online. I also give that away for free at internetprofits.com/free. And the idea there is once you identify what your what is, you need to understand how to share that gift with the world and how to monetize that gift. And, of course, the Internet nowadays really does leverage the playing field for all of us. And there's tons and tons and tons of no and low-cost ways to leverage the net to get your message across and really develop that personal brand.
That's very good. And, you know, I went to your website, the SteveOlscher.com website, and, of course, that's got everything right there that people can select the different services you offer, and also the different books and how they can get some of this information and the journey to you. I'm going to do the journey to you because you've got me very curious there. I want to make sure I'm on the right track. And you know, it's funny, anytime I get outside of what I really enjoy doing, which is with working with clients and helping them get from point A to point B in their life, or getting them where they need to be in retirement or planning for retirement, anytime I get outside of that or away from that, I start becoming very ineffective and I start getting very frustrated.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the site, because that is one of the key takeaways that I got from studying under, working alongside, and interviewing 25 of the world's leading experts who I worked with to create the book Internet Profits. But if your website is not reflective of what I have there, and it takes more than one click for people to get what they need from you, that's a quick tip. You've got to get as close to one click as you possibly can for people to get what they need from you online.
Well, Lisa, who runs our board here, also takes care of our website, and she knows I've pushed her to put more and more directly on our, so people go to my website, the davidholland.com website. In the upper right-hand corner, it says contact, because that's what I want them to do, is hit that contact button, and then they can fill in their information, or they can give us a call. You've got to make it easy. I listened to a presentation not long ago by somebody who's in a similar to you, Stephen, and you make it more than three steps and you lose people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just, it's not even a matter of steps so much as it's options.
True.
You can't give them that many options. Otherwise, people just, they become paralyzed. If you're trying to do speaking and book selling and this, that, and the other, and everything on one site, I mean, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. You want to have David Holland speaking and David Holland books and David Holland, whatever it might be, all his individual websites. I mean, that's the best way to do it nowadays.
Well, I think your point's well taken. It makes it very clean. I like how you have your website, though, where you've got the different things you can select on, and you just hit submit. Lisa's going to look at your website. I like that, Lisa. Lisa, you see that? I've got her looking at it on the screen. So I like how you've set your website up and make it easy. But so you can go there, ladies and gentlemen, steveulcher.com. I like the way he set himself up. And these are some good resources to take advantage of. And I love the idea because, you know, in business, especially for our business listeners, is going to looking at what your niche, your focus market is, and then how you then offer services and have that be a return on investment for you.
Yeah, it's all about making it easy for them to grab your supporting products and services. Absolutely.
All right, Steve. Well, we're done. I'm going to go to your website, and I'm sure our listeners will as well, steveulcher.com. Steve, thanks for being on the program.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.